Yo, what up, Grizz Nation, and welcome back to another episode of Grizz 901, your favorite post-game show, but we're in the off-season. Unfortunately, I'm going to continue to say that. We do not want to be in the off-season, I promise you that, but we have so much that we want to get into tonight. We're going to discuss a lot of the NBA playoffs. There's a game happening right in this very instance against the Celtics and the Pacers. We're going to hit on that for sure. And then we're also going to cover and give you our predictions on the Timberwolves and the Mavs. And there's been a lot of discussion that has kind of taken over Grizz Twitter in a sense. Do we support the Timberwolves? Are we allowed to do that on this show? We're going to get into that completely. And then also the big guys. There's a lot of talk kind of surrounding around maybe a Zach Edey, maybe a Jared Allen. There's so much we want to get into. We'll get into that in the last segment, but you know what we got to do. Let's go ahead and bring in our guy. Did it break? I don't know what happened. Hey. I pushed a button and it's a
absolute disaster.
I don't know what happened.
Disaster.
Anyway, what's up, Nate? How are you, man?
I mean, I'm all right.
Listen.
The end.
I think I'm breaking stuff. Listen, as King Meeks is saying already, hit the like button. If you missed us last week, man, we had a great show. We had Kenny producing us on the back end. We unveiled a little bit of what we want our show to look like, in a sense. And so we changed a little bit of that, but we have a lot that we're going to keep, I guess, tinkering with, in a sense, and keep trying to make sure we get it the way we want to in the off season. So this is where we're going to try some things. And so as you all know, that we're going to maybe try things that might not be good, but you know what? We're going to go for it. So hit the like button if you don't mind. Subscribe to Bluff City Media. We would appreciate that. But also, if you're on any kind of social media watching this, join us over at YouTube. We'd appreciate that. The last three things I want to do is give a shout out to our three sponsors, that's Streetcars of Memphis, regular maintenance for your car, plus all the modification needs, speakers, lights, lits, lifes? No, lights.
Absolute lifts, disaster.
Wheels. Pews. Flower shops to commercial landscape maintenance. Pews have been around for 30 plus years. Well, they're now in the landscape business, baby. Go ahead and find them out wherever you can use your little fingers and pull up pews.com. But also give them a call over at 901-633-2118. Let them know the Grizz 901 crew sent you. Remember, Pews, you got big company strength, small company values, and then our guy, Heaven's Healthy Kitchen. Grassroots business start right here in Memphis. Chef Smith Memphian promotes healthy eating and wellness. Looking to cook at home? Go get his cookbook. You can go over and find it at orderhhk.com. Serving and catering plant-based and vegan gourmet food straight for you. And no, Harold, Edey is not mayor of Memphis. We're not going for that. We're gonna hit him in the last segment, but we want to hit first on this game that is happening right now. Nate, are you watching it? That's like, it has to be what's taking over Grizz Twitter right now.
This game? Yes.
Yeah, has to.
Celtics play too much, man.
Yeah.
How are they not blowing them out? Game one, Eastern Conference Finals. You've not played very much basketball. How do you not come out ready to just absolutely blitz these guys?
Well, the thing is they have. But it's like in very small increments. It's like, hey, let's go up like a 10-2 run, 14-4 run, and then like get out. And then all of a sudden you'll let them creep back. Like, yeah. I don't get why. I think they're playing with their food a little too much, like you were saying. But look, it's 96-95 Boston right now. 10 minutes to go in the game. We're going to keep honestly being here throughout the rest of this game. Yeah. And so if it somehow extends past our 45 minutes to an hour, listen, we're staying until it's over. If it's quadruple overtime, we'll be here, I promise.
Just weird, man. It's just, I don't know if we've seen the Celtics play, like, to use a really tire terminology, a full 48. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. The entire playoffs. It's kind of, I don't know. I'd be frustrated if I was a Boston fan. I'd be worried.
Yeah. Wayno says, didn't they give up 12 at the start? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're going to make a run. And I think what you're going to look at here, and I'm watching it as well. I think you're looking at maybe when subs come in, maybe some people going to run, some people don't. I don't know, man. It just, there's so much that can happen with the playoffs, especially if you're playing extended minutes. Like, you know how normally like you come out at a certain time during the regular season, then you eventually come back in and everybody kind of does the same thing. Well, in the playoffs, dude, you might go for 40 minutes. Like I did last night. I think I went for 50 plus minutes. It was crazy.
Dude, I get it, but like they went up 12 and then they let them right back into it. And then they went up 12 in the third quarter. Next thing you know, they're down by one at the very beginning of the fourth. It's just like, I understand it's the Eastern Conference Finals. Pacers have earned their way there. Let's not pretend this Pacers team should not be heavily outmatched by this team. Right. Like, it's just, I don't know. We'll see. Maybe they end up winning by 20. They just like pedal to the metal this quarter. But right now, I'm like, unimpressed.
Yeah. Hey, real quick from King Meeks. I want to hit on this later, but Nate, did you see the interview or the tidbits of interview from Chandler Parsons and Daniel Tosh.0? You didn't see it. Okay. Well, when we take our break, try to see if you can pull it up and have it ready and you can watch it during our break. Our break will be, I believe it's 2 minutes long. We'll hit on that right after our commercial break about midway through the show. So King Meeks, if you're staying around, let's hit that. Cause I do have my opinions. Dude is a just straight up hater. Like I could not dislike the guy more. He might be the biggest heel in Memphis, but I want you to watch it yourself. But also if you missed it, tee it up, get it ready. When we take our break about midway through, go ahead and watch it. It doesn't take long. There's probably some clips on there about Memphis. Watch it. And it shouldn't extend that past that time and you can kind of chat with us, but all right. So going through this game, listen, we're 100 to 99, Nate. If you had to pick a winner, or is it easy to say Boston's just too good and they're going to quit playing with their food?
I mean, yeah. I mean, I can't imagine a world where the Pacers – you're talking about this game or the series? Just
the series in general.
Yeah, no. There's no chance the Pacers should win this series. The Pacers should not have won the last round other than the Knicks got hurt. And for all the Pacers fans that I know tune into the show regularly.
All of them. There's probably one.
All negative five. I don't want to hate on the Pacers. They have beat the guys that they were supposed to beat right in front of them.
Yep.
But first round, no Giannis, really no Dame. I feel like someone else was hurt that series too. Middleton was out.
Yeah.
He was just out the entire regular season.
Yeah.
So you're dealing, you got that.
Right.
And then round two, it's no Randall, obviously, but then it's all of a sudden no Anunoby. All of a sudden Jalen Brunson's banged up. Josh Hart's running a marathon every 3 days. It's like, you know, it just gets to the point where I'm like, okay, you're beating who you're supposed to beat, right? You have earned your way there. There's nothing to take away from that. Just like I don't like the fact that people are taking away from Boston being in the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, they beat the teams that were in front of them.
Yeah.
Like, that's all you can do.
Yeah.
At the same time, like, it's just a different level. They're going to need to keep bringing out new voodoo dolls, I think.
No doubt. But yeah, so I think we both have Boston winning this. I definitely think that the Pacers can make it six games. Like, I think that they can run enough on these dudes to make it six games. If they had Porzingis, I would say it's a little bit tougher. But look, I don't doubt these Pacers. Like, they're going to score and they're going to get hot. They're going to shoot well. They're also going to shoot terribly in some games. So they're going to get blown out as well.
Well, and the thing that'll keep them in these games is Siakam seems to have sort of found his rhythm a little bit. I think
Miles Turner too.
Miles Turner has been good the entire playoffs. Yeah. He's been good all season too.
Yeah.
I think that I sort of consider Siakam a rich man's DeMar DeRozan in a way, where it's like he is more helpful than DeMar DeRozan in a good team setting. At the same time, I think he takes a lot of inefficient shots. Like, analysts have got to hate him, right? Yeah. It's like that mid-range, but not quite in the mid-range shot he loves. But when he's making them, he's making them. And so he's doing it right now. They're so outmatched. The Celtics play with their food too much. I don't really care how much they play with their food. They should beat this team in five.
Yeah, the Celtics should easily win this in five. I don't think it'll happen, but I think that they're going to win this no matter what. But let's go ahead and move to the next one. We're still going to be stuck on the playoffs, but we have a lot to discuss with this Mavs and Timberwolves. And so
I'm excited about this.
I wanted to get through that, but we're going to continue as the game goes. I'm going to give us an update as we go through. You're probably watching it as well as we are. But I have it right here on my screen, and so I'll be paying attention to it a little bit and keep you updated. But the Dallas Mavericks take down, was it OKC? And then Timberwolves took out the Nuggets. Both everybody thought thought that OKC has the potential to win that series, but also Denver is probably going to win their series, especially when they go up 20 by halftime. Like, there's no reason that these two teams should be in these spots, and they are. But honestly, like, both those series were incredible. And so hats off to both of these teams. But there's been a lot of chatter in the Memphis Twitterverse, Twitter streets, we'll say. I just I'm not sure where you are. Are we able to support the Timberwolves? Like, are we going to allow ourselves to do that?
No. No. Now, I will say I'm not going to go full hater either. I do think it's like the amount that people are hating on the Wolves at this point, it's kind of insecure. I mean, let's just call it what it is. Like, it's insecurity about the fact that another young, quote unquote, young team, even though they're not young, is succeeding. Right. And I'm not drinking the haterade. At the same time, I don't want them to win. I would much rather see Dallas win that series. 100%. I wanted the Nuggets to win that series. I couldn't believe they sold like that in the second half. Just completely flipped their energy in that second half. All that to say, like, I'm not going to hate on them. Like, give credit where credit's due. We all love Ant.
Right.
We all love Mike. Most of us love Kyle. There's still people who hate Kyle.
They're probably a little.
No comment on Rudy.
Yeah. Oh my God, dude. That's the bad thing, and we talked about that. I hate cheering for Kat and Rudy Gobert. Like, I just hate it. I can't allow myself to do that. But what I'm hoping is that they don't play well, and the other guys do, and whatever happens, happens. If they win, they win. They lose, they lose. I just don't want to cheer for the Wolves as a whole. I'm cheering only for Ant and Conley. In all honesty, that's really the only two guys I'm cheering for.
Look at Wayne, the ex-girlfriend that should have been us, seeing her walk down the aisle.
We're so angry.
Can't say that that has been me, thankfully. I got the one I should have gotten. That being said, like, Ant was awesome in that Nuggets series.
For sure.
Like you got to give credit where credit's due, you know? And, like, for a guy who seems to have always sold in the big moments, Cat was awesome in that series. Now, this series itself, I do not think is nearly as much of a mismatch as a lot of people think. I could be eating my words. Like, the Wolves destroyed the Suns.
Yeah.
Beat Jokic at home in Game 7. That being said, I think they are facing an entirely different type of matchup in this Mavs team. I think it's entirely different because here's all kinds of things, right? Jokic is the best player they faced, no doubt, including in this series that they got coming up. Jokic is better than anyone the Mavs have.
All right.
They are yet to face any athletes.
Yeah.
Also, I don't think it's crazy to say Kyrie's better than Jamal Murray, as good as Jamal Murray has been. I don't think it's crazy at all to say Kyrie's better.
They're different, though.
Yeah, but as far as what you need out of both, what are you going to have? Jamal Murray defending? Kyrie's the better scorer than Jamal Murray. He's a better scorer than Jamal Murray.
He hasn't been, though. Not on this team.
Yeah, well, watch.
Yeah. I bet he doesn't score 20 points in any of the games.
We should clip this and put this out as a poll. I think Kyrie is 1,000% a better scorer than Jamal Murray. Okay. Despite how great Jamal has been. And I'm not trying to say he hasn't been. But I still think the main thing they're facing here is they have a guy that can score really methodically in Luka, who is basically like perimeter point forward Jokic. But they also have athletes.
Okay.
They have not faced any athletes, dude. Like the Suns. Who is the best athlete there? Kevin Durant, who's 35 with an Achilles. Grayson Allen.
Booker. I don't know if he's an athlete, but Booker
that's
has
what I'm,
been.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, athletes. KD is probably the best athlete there. And then who you got on the Nuggets outside of Aaron Gordon?
Yeah.
What, Michael Porter Jr., who doesn't know his head from his feet?
Yeah.
Like, like, who is it? And then you get go up against this team, and you've got Derrick Jones Jr., Derek Lively, Daniel Gafford, even Josh Green is a sneaky athlete, Kyrie, Tim Hardaway Jr., even P.J. Washington.
Yeah.
They're going to deal with the level of athleticism they haven't had to yet. And I think that matters. It's a different challenge, right? It's not the same team.
All right, so I will take back a little bit of what I said because I guess I'm so recency biased against Kyrie of what I literally watched every single game of that OKC series. But this Clipper series, 31, 23, 21, 40, 14, and 30. Like, dude played well. Okay, but if you look at this last series where there was more athleticism, better people to guard him, which is OKC, right? Which you're going to have in Minnesota, 29, 22, 9, 12, 22. Every other game he was scoring either 22 or 20 or 9 or 12.
Sure.
So I'm not saying – I think Jamal Murray can get his shot more in that offense than Kyrie can. I'm not saying that Murray's better than Kyrie, but I really think that depending on the offense, I would probably choose one or the other. Depending on the offense.
I just think it's the same thing. Do you think Kyrie's more athletic than Jamal Murray?
His handles are, yes.
I'd say he's more athletic than Jamal Murray.
And I'd probably pick Kyrie 10 times out of 10, but I like Murray's game too. We're splitting hairs, which is fine. They're both great. But I think they're both really good. But, man, Kyrie with Luka is kind of taking a step back. But as I saw in that Clippers series, I just think that he can step up if need be. I'm curious what he does against the Timberwolves. And I'm curious what he's did on the year against them.
Well, and the point is you hear all this stuff. Like Tim Connelly went to Minnesota and he built a team to beat the Nuggets.
Right.
The team that's built to beat the Nuggets is not the team that's built to beat the Mavs. Now, right. If I was going to pick a team to win, I'm going to pick Wolves. I think the Wolves should win this series. All that to say, they are still dealing with something they have not dealt with yet. And they got guys who can be just as athletic as they can. And I think that matters when you come into the series. I think it gives Dallas a chance to try and play Rudy off the floor, which I think matters. I think it also limits having maybe a Naz Reid out there too. You got two guys who are, as Wayne said in the comments, crafty, and Luka and Kyrie. Good chance you can get Kat in a foul trouble, which would severely limit them. There's just different ways for the Mavs to attack them, but I don't think the Nuggets were equipped to do. Now, they might just let Derrick Jones Jr. shoot from the corner and all of a sudden he shoots 20%, right? Yeah. All that money he made in the past two rounds all of a sudden gets lost in this round. That being said, I just think it's a completely different matchup. I think they, if history serves us well, they're going to get absolutely bollocked in game one. Like that's what's going to happen. Just absolutely walloped by that Timberwolves team. But I think the Mavs make this a series. I really do. And I think that you see Vegas thinks that's sort of right. It's not a heavy favorite towards the Wolves here. Not as heavy as you would think after watching them that past series. We'll see.
Man, I'm so curious of how this all goes because, like, I'm looking at the line right now for Kyrie Irving. It's 21.5, okay? In the last three games against them, and mind you that two of these games happened in 2023. I'm sorry, he hasn't played against them. Yes, he played against them this year. He had 35 against them in the game he played. But the two games before, they had 30 and 36. He scored well against them for the simple fact that probably he wants to space it out and he can get by, you know, maybe somebody that's over helping with Kyrie. I'm sorry, with Luka. And so I do think that you might be on to something. I'm going to put a bet on it right now, okay? Right now that I'm going to take Kyrie over 21.5 points. For the simple fact is, 22 points isn't a lot to get to, right? Because he did that three times in this last series. And so I'm thinking that he actually does that in the first game. You're talking about a game at Minnesota. They're probably going to be the main guy that they're going to be looking at is Luka, right? And you're going to have Jay McDaniels on him, but you're also going to have probably who does Ant guard? Does Ant guard Luka instead?
I think you have to because of the strength factor. I think you put McDaniels on Kyrie, Ant on Luka, or they try and save Ant's offense and they just let him sort of play on whoever. If you're going for purely best defensive matchups, putting him on someone like Luka makes the most sense, but they might have put in someone like Kat on Luka, which would be a massive mistake, actually. As soon as I said it out loud, I was like, you probably shouldn't do that.
No.
Thinking on it now.
Okay,
you can do McDaniels on Luka and Nikhil Alexander Walker on
Kyrie.
Kyrie.
And then you go Ant on either probably Derek Jones Jr. or PJ Washington. And then and vice versa. Then you go with Kat on them, and then you go Gafford against Gobert.
Is that five?
Yeah.
Well, then that makes sense. I guess you got to put Mike in there instead of Alexander Walker. I don't know how I feel about putting Mike on Kyrie with the bum hammy, though.
Oh, I forgot about.
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. There's all kinds of things to be interesting. There's just a lot of different things that could end up happening. That.
Yeah. Well, because who do you hide Mike Conley on? Because you have to put Mike Conley on Kyrie, Derek Jones Jr., or Washington, whatever his name is.
Probably Derek Jones Jr.
Dude, he can get up. He would get every random rebound just because he won't be boxed out.
Yeah, but who else are you going to put him on? Plus, the Wolves switch everything.
So you can put him on Kyrie.
You could. Ray in here saying somewhere Ant said Kyrie was his matchup. He wanted it. But, I mean, I just don't know. There's a lot of different things you could do here. My guess would be they put Mike on Derrick Jones Jr. and then he just plays off, right? Same thing. If you want to shoot it, shoot it.
So, all right. I can get down with that.
I don't know.
I can get down with that because you got to think that he is going to be like a spot up shooter in the corner. The only problem is if it was me, I am any chance I get, I'm going to catch and shoot in that corner or I'm going straight back door to the rim. And I want Gobert or Kat to join me at the summit. Like I want that to happen because I'm going through you every time. I hate Gobert. All right, so real quick, 2 minutes to go in the game, 115 to 110. Indiana Pacers are up by 5.
That's crazy.
So I'm curious how this goes. We just got a free run to – whoa. Yeah, okay, free run to the rim for Jaylen Brown. Just got hit in his head, and he's holding his head, as you can obviously tell. All right, so Wayno's got a question. If the Celtics wet the bed this series, is it time to break up Tatum and Brown, in your opinion?
I don't know what the move is. There's just – I have no idea what you do. I mean, if you are Boston and you don't figure out a way, I'm not going to lie, to win the finals this year.
Yeah.
I'm not saying at the beginning of not just the season but the playoffs as a whole, I don't think this should have been championship or bust. When you get to Wolves, Mavs, and then you versus the Pacers, you got to find a way to bring that home, man, if you're the Celtics.
This is their best year.
Otherwise, you just
– I think it's must win for them right now.
My internet must going? Win.
Yeah, you're in and out.
Nice. Perfect. That's exactly what I was hoping for tonight.
You keep freezing every 2 seconds. So, but your voice has been good for the most part. So I don't want to hate on it too much, but we got to figure that out.
So it's just my face.
Mainly your face, which is, that's fine with me. I'm cool with it freezing, but I got to see more of still pictures of you. Hey, I will say you got 4 months to figure it out though.
Yeah, I know. So we'll just do that. Okay.
Hey, I got a take on this. And so I think, if you look at this as the Celtics, I really think that this is must win this year for the simple fact that Denver will be back with a vengeance next year, we'll say. Okay? You have OKC has a little bit more of the scars, and so they should be back to somewhat normal. All right? And then you have the Timberwolves who are coming. No matter if they win or lose, they're keeping the whole entire team together, no matter if they're paying Cat and Gobert $93-plus million next season just as a whole, plus the other guys who had to pay. So that's three teams. Lakers are going to figure out something. They're going to be competitive. Phoenix is going to figure out something. They're going to be competitive. The Mavs are right there already. They have Luka Doncic. Wemby and whoever they surround with him is coming. Did I mention the Grizzlies are coming? Like, all of that is in the West. And then if you go out East, they're only going to continue to get better because those are going to be the worst teams, as they have been. Eventually, those stars are going to come through. You're obviously going to see the white boy that's going to Duke, Cooper Flagg. He's coming eventually. He's going to go out East. He has to, because everybody is pretty good in the West. And so you're going to start seeing a little bit of a flip-flop. I think they can get to the finals, and I think they can keep getting there, and I think that's their best path. But eventually, these other teams are going to compete with them out East, and you're going to see Giannis get healthy. Obviously, he's got Dame time out there, and these other teams are going to continue to keep getting better. I think this is their year. It's wide open for them. They have to take it this year. If they don't, it's complete failure, and they're about to lose game one at home.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you've got to – you can't let this happen. We were just talking about they play with their food too much, and it's like, okay, I can't – there's no reason they should lose this series. There's no reason they should lose this game. Game one at home against the Pacers after you've been chilling.
Chilling.
Like, I know you're not healthy, but come on, man. You're the Boston Celtics playing against the Indiana Pacers.
Yeah.
So, listen, they might lose this, and it might be a gentleman's sweep. Who knows? But it just doesn't feel like they're one of those teams where I think you and me talked about this at the very beginning of the playoffs. The Timberwolves look like every possession mattered.
Yeah.
Every possession mattered. The Celtics, I just don't look like every possession matters right now, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't really look like that. But they've got a good team. That's what I'm saying. I don't know where they go from here. As where I was going, my internet derailed.
Still derailing.
Yeah, great. You have Drew Holiday, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. I know Kristaps is out, but you have a great role player in Derek White, great role player in Al Horford. This is the year to put those pieces together, man.
Yeah. All right, looking at this game now, it's a one-point game. Indiana 115 to 114 for Boston. And listen, we're going to have a draft special show, and I am over the moon at what it's going to look like. You don't even know yet, Nate, and I'm trying. Nimhard, I think that was Nimhard for a two at the free throw line there. That's great. 117 to 114 now, Indiana. But the draft special show is going to be awesome. Hopefully, if your internet doesn't suck. But we have a lot to talk about that. But just in general, we're going to have Ryan. We're going to have Chip on, and it's going to be – awesome. Like, the graphics we're doing for it, the in and out, the cuts that we're going to do for the different show, how it's going to be done is going to be really good. It's going to be a lot of fun. Me and Kenny have already met twice about it. And we're going to even have a kind of a rehearsal the night before to make sure everybody knows what they're doing. Like, we're taking it seriously. We're going through the entire, we're going up to the Grizzlies pick if they trade back for a few spots. Then we're going to stay with you, but we're going to go pretty much with the Love City Media draft special. We're going to go through the lottery, unless the Grizzlies get down to like maybe 16 or 17, then we'll stay the whole time. But for the most part, we're going to get to the Grizzlies pick, and then we're going to discuss the Grizzlies pick as well as the other picks that are happening, but we're going to stay Grizzlies-centric after they make their selection, okay? So we're going to kind of lead you up into it, and then once they get their pick, then we'll actually break it down into who they got, how it affects the Grizzlies, and how good that player is. So we're going to have a lot of fun. All right, so enjoy this game. Go watch the Chandler Parsons stuff. We're going to take a quick two-minute break here for commercials, and then as soon as we come back, we're going to hit on all the bigs that we want to discuss. So stay tuned.
The old dudes are getting up out of here too. The LeBrons are looking, starting to look old. Steph Curry looking old. Kevin Durant, first time ever. Neither one of those three guys were in the second round of the playoffs, right?
I absolutely welcome the ushering out of the old heads. Like, I I have this extreme like LeBron fatigue. Like, I don't like the way that he's covered by the media, and it makes me tend to not like him. And it's not even his fault.
Yeah,
never his fault. And so moving forward with the new faces of the league, like, you know, your Ja Morant and your Luka Doncic's and Anthony Edwards could be part of that conversation. But does the league want to, like, put him on? Because they're going to market whoever they want to market, right? Yeah. And I feel like he's very marketable. But for some reason, it seems like the league not leaning into it.
Because they know it's a clown. They know it's a clown inside.
He's going to say whatever. Right? He's going to say whatever.
They learned from Ja Morant. You better vet these dudes toughly. And the dude who's coming to M-bombs and eating Popeyes on screen and...
He on the Bally's mic, bro. The mic is hot, bro. We heard what you just said.
They know a clown is in there, man.
Tune in to The Anthony Sain Show, Wednesdays and Fridays at 12 p.m. weekly on the Bluff City Media YouTube channel.
The Grizzlies, number nine in the NBA draft. They're picking 9th, 39th, and 57. Who are they getting with those three? Go.
A veteran from around the league.
Okay.
I mean, I don't. If there's something that they could do with that ninth pick that gets them someone that's already proven, then yeah, because I don't even know who would be thought of as being the ninth best player that's coming out at this point. I have no idea who that person would be, but I know this team in terms of moving forward. You think of, in terms of winning a championship, still young enough, and you still want some pieces. That are able to help you win right now, not just continue to amass for the future. For the future is right now for this team.
Tune in to the Night Court Podcast with your hosts, Rob Fisher and Brevin Knight, on the Bluff City Media YouTube channel.
Out there we go. I was on mute. Can you hear me? I can't hear you.
That's because I was on mute.
What is wrong with us?
Abject disaster of a show. Let's go. How to not do a show. One-on-one. This show in general has been an absolute just mess. Absolute mess.
I don't get it. I don't know what's happening. All right. So a couple things. If you are a betting person, tune into my show that I'm going to be on. I'm going to be on all three rest of the days this week. I'll be on Driving the Line. You can follow us on YouTube, anywhere social media. It's at Driving the Line. But I'll be there Wednesday as a regular correspondent, as I always am. But then I'll be hosting Thursday and Friday. So it should be a lot of fun. Coach Jonathan Coachman is actually calling the PGA event that's happening. I don't even know where it is. And so when he calls it, I come in and host it. And so it's going to be a lot of fun. And so who knows how bad I'll screw it up, but hopefully it's not any better than this. All right, so we're down to 117 to 114. Indiana has the lead. Boston has the ball under the rim with 8.5 seconds to go. I know I'm a little delayed, but we have a shot from Jaylen Brown. Three-pointer. Wow, we have a tie game with 5.7 seconds. Oh, he just shot that in somebody's eyeball, and I don't even know who, but somebody's Celtics. Eyeball.
Absolutely fumbling right now.
Dude, if they lose this game, they could lose both of these at Boston.
Indiana. My fault. Yeah. Indiana.
They could lose both of these. Mm. Yeah. All right, let's go to it. Did you listen to Chandler Parsons?
What a dickhead.
He is a dick.
That dude's just absolute asshole.
Old punk Parsons. Like, he reminds me of somebody that had it good and just wants to turn around and just shit on the city, on the franchise, on the people. We as fans had to deal with his terrible basketball broken body skills. We had to do that. He is the guy who broke up the core four because of his lack of health, because of his lack of ability. We had to move on from the core four because he screwed it up so bad, because we had so much money involved in him and he gave us zero. And so he really was the person who brought down the core four. They tried to go all in with going after and getting a kind of a stretch, kind of a guard who can shoot. And he was what really broke up the core four. So screw you, Punk. Screw you.
Listen, it all worked out. All roads led to Ja Morant of that whole debacle. At the same time, like, and I go to Nashville, like, ran out of underage girls in Memphis. Sorry, not underage. Teenage. Shouldn't say underage, but they're out of all sensations, like, such as that. So, teenage. Yeah. There we go. I don't even know if that's true or not, but if he's going to hate on us, I'm going to hate on him.
Oh, he was notoriously scooping up some girls from college, for sure. I wouldn't doubt if some of them were not of age, but I know that he was, like, dabbling all in the University of Memphis girls, like 100%. And so, is it legal? Yes. I'm not trying to call the dude out for doing something illegal. Yeah, I don't know.
Underage.
I'm not involved in that. But, like, if you're 30 and you're hooking up these 20 and 21-year-olds, that's a little weird. A little weird. I'm not saying it's, you know, some people like that. Some people might give you a pat on the back. I think it's weird, especially a guy with two daughters. Me and you fighting, bro. I'm just saying. We're going to fight, and it's going to have to just go down in the streets. We're good.
Generational jerk. I don't know how else to put it.
No. Yep. As King Meek says, Parsons was Diddy back then. All right, we're going to move on from that. We're not going to keep on too long. But I do not like Punk Parsons. But the Grizzlies have some big man needs as the Pacers and the Celtics go to overtime. We're going to be here. I'm telling you, I don't know about you, but I'm going to be here no matter how many overtimes they go through. We'll hang out so we can watch this live for sure. But the big man needs for the Grizzlies, those Grizzlies Twitter streets have been talking. All right, so Jared Allen, for you, if you could get him, what would you be willing to give up to go get a guy like Jared Allen?
Zaire Williams.
King Meeks. Man.
Yeah, I'm sorry, King Meeks. You and Zaire both have to leave town. No, I don't know, man. I mean, he fits a huge need for this team. So, I mean, decent amount. I'd give up Luke Kennard.
Okay. So you're giving up Luke Kennard and Luke Kennard in a first, for sure?
Yeah, I'll give up Luke Kennard in a first for Jared Allen. Fits your needs perfectly. The only questions about him are going to be the quote-unquote toughness being built for it. You know, it is tough. I don't blame him for not getting an injection this year, if I'm going to be honest. I'm not in the camp that blames him for that. Like, what are you going to – it's a team who, it sounds like 2 hours after their season ended, they sit there and they're just completely, like, selling on J.B. Bickerstaff. So it's like – and granted, Donovan Mitchell has shot down some of those claims, all that. At the same time, I'm like, dude, those reports didn't come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Right? So if they didn't come out of nowhere, came from somewhere. At the same time – so with that, I'm like, okay, do I really hate on him for not going in on something where you're probably going to get beat anyways? The whole team seems to have not been completely bought in.
Probably get beat, though.
Listen, it's the Celtics, dude. They were always going to get beat. Also, it's not like he wasn't actually hurt.
I'm not doubting the guy for being hurt. I get that. Like, I don't ever look into somebody's injury and say, why didn't you play unless it's like you can tell they're just they're trying to skate through it, and they're like, hey, I'm just, you know, like a week after they're playing pickup ball, whatever. Like I try not to look into somebody's injury because I've had many injuries over the year, and some of them hurt worse than others. Some of them seem like they should hurt worse than others, and they don't. It's just depending on how your body reacts. It could be, you know, the severity of it. So I don't want to doubt it, but if it, I just know if it was me, I'm doing everything to get out there, everything. But I'm also not getting paid millions of dollars, but I'm also not the guy under contract. If I'm under contract, that's different. Dude's under contract. Like he's in the NBA. It's not the NFL where you possibly could get waived and you're non-guaranteed. You have a guaranteed contract. I'm probably going to go out there no matter what, somehow, some way. He's not. That worries me a little bit for sure. But I got another question though. We're going to move on to that. Do you get worried that he's only an inch taller than Brandon Clark?
No. No.
Okay. But listen, we already have Brandon Clark.
He's only an inch taller than Brandon Clark. He's only an inch taller than Brandon Clark.
Only an inch.
This is one of those where I throw in this little, I watch the games. I watch the games. And guess what? He might be an inch taller than Brandon Clark. His wingspan might as well be 7 feet longer than Brandon Clark's. With the way he plays, it's just not even close to the same. Like, the dude is a rim protector for a reason and a rebounder for a reason and a rim runner for a reason. Now, that's where the similarities end with him and Brandon Clark. That's it. It's just, if you actually watch Jared Allen play, it's clearly not remotely a same conversation.
Yeah. Well,
it's just not the same.
He was an inch taller than him, and he averaged 20 and 14 last year. That's where I'm at. Listen, and you can give me the measurables, you can give me all that, but in the end of the day, it really is 20 and 14. Like, we're getting that instantly, and that's what you're going to get in a guy like that.
Well, and the conversation is from there, okay, which one was 20 and which one was 14? Because that's how he plays. Like, it's okay. Just not.
Who cares?
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. Like, if that's a legitimate question, set.
Yeah,
it's just not is not a sane conversation in my end.
Yeah.
The only question is he quote unquote tough enough, right?
Yeah.
You have the whole thing against the Knicks, and then you have all this going on. Like, yeah, man, I'm great with Jared Allen.
Yeah. No, yeah, I'm great with him too, and I think that a lot of people would be happy with a guy like Jared Allen for sure, but. The Indiana Pacers are up 120 to 119, but Boston just got a block from Al Horford on, I think it was Nesmith, and then got up, got fouled at the rim, which is a great play. I think that's Nesmith. I'm not exactly sure who helped him block that. Either way, Jason Tatum shooting free throws with 2 minutes and 27 seconds to go. Craziness is happening in this game. Like, I want to keep talking about this. I really just want to watch this game, but we're going to keep talking because I do want to have a lot to give on this. We're going to keep coming back to this. All right, so there's obviously the comments, as always. Our family here is always chatting about Zach Edey. So Harold Smith says, let's get Zach Edey and call it a day. But then we want to hear from Wayno. Then Wayno says, I don't want to hear about a word about Zach Edey. If we're serious about competing, we can put that trust in a rookie and waste another 2 years of our window. How many rookies realistically step in and flourish straight away? So what side are you on, Nate?
I don't mind getting a center in the draft. I've said that before. I don't want that to be the main big acquisition of the season. Got to go get a guy who has some kind of experience for you. Like, whether that's Jared Allen, Hartenstein, Drummond, I mean, Paxton, see, that conversation is dead in the water. But there's other guys who are out there who you got to get some kind of veteran big with experience that you can rely on.
I agree. I'm there as well.
What's this guy doing? I'm sorry. I'm sitting there watching this game.
Yeah. I'm like, listen, you're freezing, so I can't tell if you're still talking or not talking half the time. So we never know. We're all in the same boat over here. But I will say that I like what Waino is saying. If I had to back anybody, I will say that what Waino's saying is if we are competing for a championship, I want a big with playoff experience. Just grab some boards, set screens, run the floor, hit free throws. Like, that's it. That's it. Like, bare minimum. Like, I don't know if you've seen any of that. All right. Grab boards, set screens, run floor, hit free throws. Only one of those actually give, one of the four that he mentioned, actually give points on the offensive end.
Yeah.
And that's just the free throws. I don't need them to even score. King Mix is saying it's Sean Bradley and the Beat had a baby. That'd be Zach Edey. Well, that's funny. And listen, I don't want to discredit Zach Edey either.
Well, also, let's be clear. Like, all I need is for Chip Williams to come in here and tell me what I believe. That's really what I need. But at the same time, I'm not saying Edey isn't a serviceable NBA big. He can screen or rebound really well. Sometimes that's all you need to have an NBA career, right? Jakob Poeltl has an NBA career. I think he'd probably do what Poeltl does, right? But if I'm the Grizzlies at 9,
no,
I'm looking for Ron Holland.
Yeah.
Like, the more I listen to guys know what they're talking about, the more I watch any kind of actual film, Ron Holland is the guy. And I know I've heard we have G.G. Jackson. What do we need Ron Holland for? Dog, are people really telling me, hey, we don't need another athletic wing who could possibly develop a jump shot and defend pretty much anybody on the court? What do we like? I can't believe I'm living in a world where somebody's telling me, hey, we have a wing. Why would we want another one?
Yeah,
we're the Grizzlies. What are we talking about? We've never had this before. Go get another one. Like, worst case scenario, all of a sudden 3-4. Like, imagine 3-4 of Ron Holland, G.G. Jackson, and then you have Jaren Jackson. A lot of people want.
Yeah.
Like, God forbid we have another athletic wing who has really high potential.
Well, okay, so that's where I am. So Klingon has kind of fallen a little bit in some mock drafts. He's still holding pretty steady in others. I know that he has kind of not been the story because of what he has been doing, whether it was in the combine and his immeasurables or his measurables, but also like a little bit of just kind of people falling out of love with him because that's what happens in the draft process is people fall in and out of love. Like, literally, people could mock draft Edey into the 20s in the next 2 weeks. Like, it literally happens that fast. And so I will say that to what you were talking about with Chip Williams, Chip says Edie's fine. I'm okay with Edey. He's okay with Edey. I think we're all okay with Edey. I'm not going to get Zach Edey. I'm not going to get a player like that at the number 9 spot. All right, we got a big three from Jason Tatum. They're going up 127 to 123. Boston is up 4 with 42.8. So we wrote off Boston earlier. We kind of danced on the grave a little bit. They're back from the dead, up 4 with 42 seconds. But Zach Edey, Zach Edey has been for sure a guy who's been the talk of the town. I am fine with Zach Edey if they were to get him. If they fall back somehow, some way, and land him in the 15 area, maybe right at the bottom of the mock draft and get something else. I'm just telling you, Zach Edey is not starting for the Grizzlies. None of these rookies are starting for the Grizzlies. None. Anybody see that? Zero. None, no matter who we pick, they're not starting for the Grizzlies next season. They're not. Okay? I don't know if that's a spoiler alert. They're not starting for the Grizzlies next year. The Grizzlies will go out and get a big man somehow, some way. And I promise you, whether it's Zach Edey, whether it's Donovan Klingon, I don't care who it is. It could be Hercules. My little Hercules. He is not starting for the Grizzlies next year.
Well, it could be something like what, you know, I was saying, tweeted this, I think today, but was talking about Grizzlies trying to trade up into the end of the first round or trade back. Fine.
Edie is not going to be there where the Grizzlies can get to.
I'm just saying, but there's a much more likely world of that than I think the Grizzlies trading back from 9 or taking Edie at 9.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense for me at all. And again, I'm not writing Edie off. Ryan says Edie sucks. I'm not sure he sucks. Like, maybe he gets in the NBA and he's Luka Garza. Okay, maybe that happens. I'm not saying that at all. I am saying that if you're the Grizzlies at 9 and you got options like Stephen Castle, you got options like Ron Holland, got options like even Reed Shepard or Dalton Connect, I'm probably taking those guys instead. Yeah.
Yep. No, I am by no means ever taking Edie unless he falls into the 20s and he's falling for whatever reason, and then you can move back in and grab him because you see something in him. I'm okay with that. But I am never, ever taking Zach Edey, a big man, any big man, even Donovan Klingon. I don't really even want Donovan Klingon this high, honestly, because I think the potential of what the Grizzlies can do and will do moving forward, whoever they get should not probably play this next season at all. Like, if they want to be a championship contender, this person should develop. And that's why I'm okay with a guy like Ron Holland, because the upside play is the upside play to Gigi, right? You don't know what you have. You're shooting for the moon with this pick because you have the potential to do it. And I really do think that you should go after a guy like Ron Holland. I'm even good with Stephon Castle. I'm good with that. I would even take Reed Shepard, Rob Dillingham, because of the Grizzlies' need for a kind of a creator. They're just too small, and I hate going with a big that is, with a guard that can't play next to your best player in John Morant. And so that's why I would stay away from that. But if Reed Shepard and Rob Dillingham are there at 9, and that means that Holland and Castle are both gone, then I'm okay grabbing one of those two. I'm happy. But I'm also not against falling back just a little bit. Grab some draft capital for next year's draft, maybe. Maybe grabbing a big along the way, something, and then falling back a little bit because you're going to get the same type of value, even if you move back 3 or 4 picks. I'm still okay with that.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. I don't think they're going to have one of these guys available at 9, and I think especially Ron Holland seems to somehow still be available there. And the potential is just sky high with a guy like Ron Holland. Like, worst case scenario, you're getting a guy who can finish around the rim, defend, and rebound. Like, that is a game you can play for a championship run. So, you know, again, I'm going to let Chip Williams tell me what to think. But what I'm not thinking is Edie at 9.
Yeah.
Maybe. No. And I could be wrong. Maybe. But I don't think I am.
No, I don't think you're wrong. No, I don't think you're wrong at all. And I think, honestly, he is being bumped up. And we're very, very much in a funnel of Grizzlies Twitter where we see that all the time. That is not the real world. We are never going to see a mock draft with Zach Edey at 9. I don't believe it. I would be shocked to see that. Mm-hmm. Just as much as the Pacers are being shocked right now because they are down 6 with 12.9 to go. And it looks like we're going to have Boston win the first game. They're up 131 to 125. And so Boston will survive with this. Crazy how much this game has kind of flipped on its head in the last 10 minutes total. But probably the last 6 or 7 minutes of game minutes, which is it's been nuts. For sure.
Pacers threw the ball out of bounds. Threw the ball out of bounds, man, with 10 seconds left. Got to get the pass in.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Listen, that's all we got. I'm not going to stay here any longer because the simple fact is Celtics are winning, baby. There's no reason to stay around any longer. They're not going to go into other overtimes. We're not going to stay around forever, thank God. Somebody just shot the ball over the freaking backboard. Shout out to Obi-Wan Kenobi Toppin. All right. Anything else you have? Because, listen, I know we've hit on a lot of stuff tonight, but mainly I wanted to get on the big man stuff and then, old Punk Parsons for sure.
Nah, I got nothing.
All right. Well, that's it for us. Make sure you kind of stay tuned. We'll be back here every Tuesday at 9:01 Central Time. But make sure on their way out, do us a favor. Hit the like button if you don't mind. But that's all we got. We'll see you next week. Be nice and tell your friends.